The British pound tumbles as Britain's government prepares to ask the Queen to suspend Parliament from the middle of next month. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The pound fell nearly 1% on the back of that news breaking just this morning. The government, led by Prime Minister Boris Johnson, wants to suspend Parliament soon after members return from their summer vacation until the 14th of October. The decision to do that is up to Queen Elizabeth, who takes advice from the government. Members would return then just 2 weeks before the Brexit deadline and 2 days before the last scheduled EU summit. It would limit the time any members of Parliament opposed to Brexit would have to pass legislation to stop the Prime Minister from potentially taking the UK out of the European Union without a deal. Mr. Johnson has said he's willing to do that. Here's the Prime Minister speaking just moments ago.
There will be ample time on both sides of that crucial October the 17th summit. Ample time in Parliament for MPs to debate the EU, to debate Brexit and all the other issues. Ample time.
This kind of suspension could open legal challenges, and the deputy leader of the opposition Labour Party called the government's plan a scandalous affront to democracy. Let's do the numbers. As the pound falls and investors assess the latest developments on Brexit, London's FTSE 100 is rising, up about 0.3%. Italy's benchmark share index, meanwhile, is flat as crucial talks on forming a new government move forward today. South Korea has summoned the Japanese ambassador to protest against a decision to remove its fast-track export status and demand it be reversed. That after Japan's move to drop South Korea from its list of most favored trading partners came into force today. As an export-driven economy, South Korea is likely to feel the pinch more than Japan. So how is it preparing? David Kuo is CEO of The Motley Fool in Singapore.
First of all, it's building up the inventory that it requires. The semiconductor industry requires fluorinated polyimides, which is used in the manufacture of semiconductors, and also hydrogen fluoride, which is used in the preparation of mobile phone screens. Japan hasn't actually said that they're not exporting any of this stuff. It's just saying that the process for exporting these goods to South Korea will take longer. Unfortunately, Japan is the main supplier of fluorinated products. But South Korea can, of course, look to Taiwan, maybe even America, and of course China for some of these components. But because it has to stockpile more, it's going to cost it more to stockpile these items. Then, of course, the semiconductors that it produces will be more expensive.
So do you think there's an end in sight for this dispute?
All that these workers require is some compensation for the forced labor that they were made to do during World War II. Now, Japan is saying that this was all solved in 1965. The South Korean government says, look, this is a civil court that has decreed that Nippon Steel has to pay this compensation. So it's not really for the South Korean government to step in. But we also have to remember that South Korea is facing an election in April 2020. So what the government doesn't want to do is to be seen to be weak. And so consequently, it's sort of digging at its heels.
David Kuo there. One of London's premier shopping corridors says it has the opportunity to create $250 million in revenue and 2,000 jobs if a law enacted 25 years ago today is revised. The key to unlocking that growth is the number of hours a store is open on Sunday. To better explain the situation, I ventured out in this morning's drizzle to part of that shopping corridor on Oxford Street, just outside the BBC. I've come to a small-sized version of a big supermarket chain called Sainsbury's. It's open Sunday from 6 a.m. to midnight, so if I wake up to an empty pantry on a Sunday morning, I could not only grab what I need for breakfast, but also ingredients for lunch and dinner. But if I go 10 minutes down the road, this other grocery store chain, Marks & Spencer, is in a much larger space, and it is only open from noon to 6 p.m., This limited opening hours rule doesn't just apply to supermarkets, but all retailers operating in a space bigger than 3,000 square feet. And it's been a rule lawmakers have, over the years, tried and failed to overturn. I'm with Maureen Hinton, Group Research Director at Global Data Retail. Why is this rule in place, and why are retail hours such a controversial topic in the UK?
It's a controversial topic because we all like to shop in the UK and we have lots of retailers, and there's also a lot going on at the moment. A lot of them are going bust.
So when we're thinking about the high street or main streets here in the UK suffering from a lower footfall and the competition from e-commerce, wouldn't longer opening hours give them more opportunity to increase sales?
It will give them more opportunity, but in fact it's just going to spread the sales over a longer period. But they'll have higher costs because you've got to keep the stores open, you've got to pay the staff. And of course, most retailers have got an online business as well. So they can take advantage of being online when they're closed anyway. It's not exactly a win-win because there are still quite high costs in selling online these days because of the delivery costs and returns, etc. But it does actually help in a certain respect because they don't want to add more costs.
Now, when Boris Johnson was mayor of London during the London Olympics in 2012, he suspended the restriction on opening hours and sales increased 3.2%. Now, you have to take into account there are more people in London probably driving up the sales. But as Prime Minister, do you think this will be something, obviously he's got some other things like Brexit to figure out, but do you think that might be something that makes its way onto his agenda, is rethinking opening hours?
I think it's going to be very low on his agenda. I think the Olympics was a big event. We had a huge amount of extra people here and it brought in masses more tourists as well. And it just made the whole city alive. But we wouldn't have the footfall to support that at other times. So I think that's why he's probably not thinking about that. As you say, he's got many other things to think about at the moment.
Maureen Hinton, Group Research Director at Global Data Retail. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Finally, if you've ever forgotten to pack your sunscreen on a day out, you're in good company with nearly 50% of people in the UK who say they've also forgotten to bring sunscreen when they go for a cool drink on a hot summer's day. Now, a British pub chain has you covered. The Anchor Bankside Pub has a vending machine stocked with sunscreen, flip-flops, even sunglasses and shorts, all for just under $2. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.